Blog Talk Radio.
Live Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Today, we're going to be teaching on transformation being the key to your salvation. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you today, God, for all of today's grace and all of today's mercy, God. I thank you for your goodness, God. I thank you for how awesome you are, God. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you, God. We lift you up right now, God, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, God. We thank you for all that you accomplished at Calvary through your son, Jesus Christ, for our physical wholeness and for our deliverance from sin, for our spiritual wholeness, God. Father, I thank you for our restoration and salvation from death and sickness and disease. Father, I thank you right now for you walking us into a more than abundant life and showing us the keys to transformation through your word right now tonight. I thank you for this. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Till the heavens
somebody just help me say that.
It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shifting the atmosphere. Every oath will be destroyed.
I believe it.
Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Help me say it.
It's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is
shifting the atmosphere.
It's moving and it's breaking.
Worship has power. Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here.
You'll be shifting the atmosphere.
Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hand. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well.
And you'll be shifting the atmosphere.
Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands.
And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. For breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. And tonight we're going to be discussing how transformation is the key to salvation. And the reason we're going to be discussing the need to be transformed is because this is the key to the more than abundant life. See, if a butterfly is going to ever become a butterfly, it has to be transformed from being a caterpillar to a cocoon and to a cupist, I think they call it, and to a butterfly. It literally goes from something that looks like a worm to something that becomes a butterfly with wings, but it has to survive its journey climbing up a tree as a worm and then finding a place to latch onto, a branch or a limb or a twig, where it will hang as a cocoon until it gets strong enough and develops into a beautiful butterfly with wings in it. It bursts forth and it flies, right? And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to go from our body and soul state of having been enemies of God, having been dead to sin because of the sin of Adam, and being without the power of the Holy Spirit within us. He wants us to be transformed from that state to becoming not just friends of God, but children of God, and having the power of the Holy Spirit within us because we have submitted to God's Son, Jesus Christ, as our Master and Lord. And when we do that, then we are, in fact, children of God, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And that is what allows us to become transformed from the inside out. We become something other than what we were before we were saved. But in order to do this, we have to engage and feast upon the Word of God. We have to get in the Word of God and look for the answers to living a more than abundant life, because that's where they are. They're in the Word of God. See, life is an open book test, and all you have to do is open the book. The Word of God is life, and everything in the Word of God is about His Son, Jesus Christ, which is the key to eternal life. And it is what gives us access to God again. So tonight I want to share with you this passage from Romans chapter 12, which is going to really enable you to put yourself on a path where you can live a more than abundant life mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. And all of the things that the world is chasing after with get-rich-quick books and get-healthy-quick books and all of the books they can come up with, God has given you His Word, the Bible, with the answers to life within it. And all you have to do is make yourself available to the Word of God by studying God's Word, reading God's Word. And I know many people have been terrorized in life by some teacher or some parent or someone who made learning a chore, someone who made learning a horrific experience, someone who made you never want to read again. And you have to get past that, because the devil will use any tool at his disposal to separate you from the truth in order to keep you ignorant of God's promises, ignorant of God's salvation for you, ignorant of God's plan for you. See, the Bible says that God has worked, He's wrought our works within us before we were even created, before we were even born. See, God has good works that we are to do, that He has planned for us to do, and we will do them. But in order to do them, we have to build ourselves up. We have to pray. We have to study God's word. We have to fast. We have to fellowship with like-minded believers. We have to be about the business of focusing on our inner man, our Holy Spirit, and preparing ourselves for eternity, understanding that this flesh and blood being is not going into eternity, but our soul is. And so what we feed our soul, what we build our soul up with, what we develop our soul with is going to prepare us for participating fully in what God has planned for us. Which, and understanding that is God's plan. See, when you understand what God is doing, it's easier for you to be a part of what he's doing and to be more intentional with how you live life. See, I want to look, before I get into this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 12, I want to look at Revelation 21:3, where it says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." See, that is God's plan. That is God's master plan. If you ever have a question about what God is doing and what's the meaning of life is that the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God, right? And so the word to us is made clear in 1 Peter 1:13, where it says that we are to set our hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, when Jesus Christ is revealed, when he returns, then the grace that has been brought to us is going to be revealed. Our ultimate transformation is going to take place at that time. And see, it's that point in time that we're to be working toward, that we're to be looking toward, that we're to be earnestly yearning for. And to understand that, in Galatians 2:16, it says a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. But also understand that it's the power of the Holy Spirit within us that allows us to do good works, not so that we can be justified, but the good works are to use the power that God has placed within us so that we can fulfill the purposes of God in the earth, because he's the one who said he wrought our works within us before we were born. And so we have to get to the point where we are earnestly expecting God to do everything that he promised. But in order to do that, we have to know what that is. So tonight I want to start in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So what is being said here is that we are being begged by the mercies of God to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And then it says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be limited to what you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. Do not be circumstance conditioned, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, a good example of not being conformed to this world right now is that the world right now is in a state of fear due to this pandemic. Not be in a state of fear like the rest of the world and be conformed to this world and be in all of this chaos in every direction. We have to be transformed by renewing our mind. And what that means is we are transformed as we replace our thoughts. We replace our observations. We replace what we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell with what the Word of God says. Because it is the promises and the Word of God that must become your dominant reality and your focus. Everything that the devil has is intended to take you away from God's promises and God's plan and God's purpose for your life. See, sin, S-I-N, is self-inflicted nonsense. It is what destroys you and takes you away from God and his purposes, because it is consuming your resources. It is consuming your attention, consuming your body. It is consuming your peace. And that's why Jesus Christ died, so that sin could be destroyed. He literally came to destroy sin, because sin was intended to separate God from man. And basically all sin is a knowledge and focus on the devil. The devil wants attention. He wants all of your attention. And he'll take good attention. He'll take bad attention. But he won't take no attention. And so the devil's goal is to get you from focusing on God and get you to focus on him. See, before Adam and Eve partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God told them not to, and God told them that when they did, they would surely die. The reason God did not want them to partake of that tree is because the knowledge of good and evil was not for them. It was going to take them away from being able to focus on God and communicate with God and fellowship with God and be one with God. And now they have to look at this other being, the devil, and consider his presence, which was not something to be considered at all until they sin. And now we're in this situation where when we receive Jesus Christ as our Master and our Lord, we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, and now we have the ability to communicate with God again, to commune with God again, to be in the presence of God again, to operate in the power of God again. After mankind not having access to that for so long, but after Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and I and shed his blood for our sin and was laid in a stone tomb for 3 days and three nights dead, and God raised him from the dead after that, then the Holy Spirit was sent to dwell within you and I. And we know the Holy Spirit within us to be a comforter, a teacher, a guide. And see, that comforter, teacher, and guide of the Holy Spirit within us allows us to be transformed as we renew our mind to the Word of God, and we replace all of the fiery darts of the devil, all of the attacks on your mind of doubt, worry, fear, unbelief, and all of the negative things. You replace those with what the Word of God says. You begin praying for your enemies. You begin forgiving people. You begin looking to God's plan of what he says you are, and not what your mother said or your father said or your teacher said or your brother said or some other significant being in your life said. Only what God says about you counts. And God says you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loved you. God says that he has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you need to stand on those promises, because God sent his only begotten son so that you could live life more than abundantly. Mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. And that is what transformation is. But in order to do this, you renew your mind to the Word of God. You study God's Word so that you can replace the negative thoughts of the world that are trying to conform you to the chaos around you. You replace those with the Word of God, and that's what transforms you into what God has for you to be, what God wants for you to do, not what the devil's plan is for you, because we know the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus Christ said he came so that we can have life, and we can have life more than abundantly. And the reason we want to be transformed by renewing our mind to the Word of God is that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, it's not enough to quote the Scripture, to read the Scripture. But when we renew our mind to the Word, when we replace our thoughts with God's thoughts, then we can prove, we can test the good and acceptable and perfect will of God and discover that this is real, that God's plan for us is not only a good plan, it's a real plan, and it is in effect right now, right? So look at what it says in verse 3. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Now, I'm going to stop right there because each of us has a measure of faith. And my thought on this is that God has given us the faith that he knows we will use. So some of us do things that other people do not have the faith to do, and I believe it's because God in his foreknowledge knew what we were going to use. And being efficient, being a steward of all things good, the measure of faith that each one of us has is the measure that we will use. It's not that the power of the Holy Spirit within you is less able to do any more than someone else is going to do through the same power of the Holy Spirit. It's that God knows that I might do less than you might do. I might believe to do less than you might do. But what I do is not, it's not dependent on what you do. How great your ministry is has nothing to do with how great my ministry is. The key is to be humble and to do everything that God has given you to do without giving thought or time or attention to what someone else has been given to do. That is none of your business, right? But we're to think soberly of ourselves, not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, because there's always someone else who is doing more for God because God knew they would believe to do more, right? So there's somebody out there raising the dead right now. There's somebody out there healing the blind right now. There is somebody out there who is performing miracles right now. That doesn't mean that I'll never raise somebody from the dead. That doesn't mean that I'll never cause a blind person to see. That doesn't mean that I'll never perform a miracle. It means that someone else right now is. And I'm to thank God for that. And then whatever God has given me to do right now, that's what I need to be focused on doing, not what somebody else is doing. It's that kind of humility that allows us to be used by God. Look at what it says in verse 4. "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of another. Of one another." So think about this. Your hand is a part of your body, just like your foot is a part of your body, just like your head is a part of your body. And they all do different things, but they depend on one another. And we can't say just because it's our hand that brings food to our mouth that our hand is more important than our head that tells our hand to put the food in our mouth, right? Look at what it says in verse 6. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." This is the key. It's not about what you do. It's about you using what God has given you the grace to use. See, grace is God's unmerited favor, but grace is also God's enabling power. So it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, which is that measure of faith we've been given, which is what we are going to use, that God knows we're going to use. It says, if prophecy, let us prophesy. Portion to our faith, right? Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And see, we need all of these things in the body of Christ. We need those who are going to prophesy. We need those who are going to minister. We need those who are going to teach. We need those who are going to exhort. We need those who are going to give. We need those who are going to lead. And we need those who are going to show mercy, because that is what ministry is. It is us using the grace that God has given to us according to the measure of faith that he's placed within us, and to understand that God needs you to use the power given to you, and to not feel less than or more than, but to rejoice. Just have joy in being who God has made you to be, and how God has chosen to use you in order to expand the body of Christ. So now we get into our behavior, right? So that we're not taken away from God. We are brought near and near and near to God. Look at verse 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. You know what that means? That means that I don't treat my fellow Christian parishioner any less than I treat my pastor or the head deacon. You know, I love everyone in the body of Christ. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, right? Things that are evil, we are against those things. So we're against racism. We're against murder. We're against injustice. We are against the things that are evil. We cling to what is good. And so that is what is going to make our life more than abundant. And what is good is not just what looks good, but what is good. Good to drink. What is good to do? What is good not to do? We cling to that because it's preserving our life. It is making the more than abundant life mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially available to us. And it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given the hospitality. See, this is how Christians are to treat one another. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Pay no one evil. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. See, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, this is God's plan. This is God's strategy. This is what God has for you to do, is to overcome evil with good and to not get caught in the trap of focusing on what is not like God. See, what you focus on is what you will become. And that's why God tells us to not be conformed to this world, to not be circumstance conditioned, but be transformed by renewing our mind. See, when we renew our mind to the Word, we are focused on the Word of God. We're focused on what God says about us, what God says about our future, what God says about our present, what God says about our past, and understand God is getting glory from all of it. He's getting glory from your past when you were his enemy. He's getting glory from your present because you're his child, and he's getting glory from your future because you are reconciling the world back to God for him, back to him. You're reconciling the world back to him, just as he always planned. See, and when you're a part of God's plan, and when you are studying God's word, and you replace the doubt, worry, and fear of the world with the promises in the word of God, then you can test God's word. And you can know for yourself that it is good. And when you share your testimony with others, then they will be delivered. They will see your transformation, and they will know that they don't always have to be a caterpillar. They don't always have to be without wings. They don't always have to be just hanging on the limb, hoping not to get blown off. Right, so that they can someday become that butterfly just like you, right? But that process of transformation requires us to build up our inner man on our most holy faith so that we understand that God's purpose, God's reason for sending his son to die so that we could live a more than abundant life. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, we have become the righteousness of God through the obedience of his son, Jesus Christ, taking our sin upon himself and then dying for our sin so that the Holy Spirit could come and dwell within us and do a transformative work of bringing us from being dead to being alive. That whole process is a process that puts us in a place that says we are God's, and God's plan for us is good. So look at what it says here in John 14:1-7. It says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Jesus Christ says, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, and you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. We see God through his son, Jesus Christ. We have access to God, to the throne of God, through his son, Jesus Christ. because we know that no man can look on God and live. But it is through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the veil, it is through that relationship with Christ that we have access to the throne of God so that God can be our Heavenly Father. And the blood of Jesus Christ can cover our sins and make us acceptable to God. See, it's the devil's job to make you feel unworthy. It's the devil's job to try to make you feel disqualified from being in the presence of God. And that's why God said, I'm not going to give you any excuse. I'm going to send my son to die for your sin, and his blood is going to make you acceptable to me. And his blood is going to cleanse you from all sin. And you are going to be righteous. You're going to become my righteousness through the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. And when we get to that place where we embrace that, when we make that our reality, now we are looking to the future. Look at what it says in Isaiah 65:17. It says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. And if that's what's going to happen, ultimately, right? God says he's going to create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. What that's telling us is we need to focus on those things that are going to be after Jesus Christ returns, after everything that God says in his word takes place. See, after all of that happens, we're going to be a part of all that. We need to be preparing for that now. And look at what it says in Psalm 14:2. It says, the Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. See, that's why we want to do what it says and present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service, and to not be circumstance conditioned, not be conformed and limited to this world in its chaos, in its death and sickness and disease and unbelief and doubt, worry and fear, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, God is, he's daring you, he's commanding you to test his word. Test it and see that it is good. See that it is acceptable. See that it is perfect. See that it is strong enough to reverse whatever situation you're looking at right now. See, and when you pray to God, your prayer life is real because you know that the promises of God are real. You know that God hears your prayers because you made his son Jesus Christ your master and your Lord. And that level of obedience where you study God's word to do what you are reading. God says, if you do this, I'll do this for you. God says, if you seek first my kingdom and then you seek my righteousness, that all the things the unbelievers are chasing after, I'll just give to you, right? That's a powerful promise. And we have to know that God's kingdom consists of those lost souls that we're to be witnessing to, that we're to be winning for the kingdom, that we're to be reconciling back to God. And we know that his righteousness is his son Jesus Christ, who is the living word of God, the written word of God, the spoken word of God. So everything that is the word of God, we need to be studying and renewing our mind with and replacing all of the negative thoughts, the fiery darts of the devil, with the word of God. And as we renew our mind to the word of God, then we are indeed transformed. And that transformation is the same as the caterpillar becoming a butterfly, something that used to crawl, that might get stepped on, to being something that is flying in the air that touch, unless it came down for you to touch it. And so then you're being carried on the wind of, you're being carried by the wind because you've been transformed by the Word of God. And it's interesting because a lot of the translations of the word in the Bible for spirit, pneuma, is one of the translations is wind, in fact. And what's fascinating about that is now in your transformed state, a caterpillar is not going to be carried on the wind. It might get blown around a bit, but it's not going to get carried on the wind, right? But a butterfly with wings is going to be carried by the wind. It's going to fly. It's going to have a place, an ability to ascend to a place of freedom. And that is why God is telling us, don't be conformed to this world. Present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable to God, so that you are no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer bound to sin and doubt, worry, and fear, and unbelief. But you are positioned to experience all of the goodness of God and all of the promises of God because you're studying God's word, because you are fasting, because you are fellowshipping with like-minded believers, because you are praying secretly, doing good deeds secretly. You are fasting secretly. And God is blessing you openly, and you're forgiving openly. Right? See, God has things for us to do that are going to set us apart. And then when we get in the body of Christ and we humble ourselves to God and we allow ourselves to use the measure of faith that God has given us, then we can be a functioning part of the body of Christ. And then if we prophesy, we can prophesy in proportion to our faith. If we are ministering, we can minister to our fellow believers. If we are teaching, we can teach our fellow believers. If we are exhorting, we can exhort our fellow believers. If we're giving, we can give liberally to our fellow believers. If we are leading, we can lead with diligence. If we are showing mercy, we can show mercy with cheerfulness. And then get to that place where we practice not being a hypocrite, not treating some people differently than we treat others in the body of Christ, but treating all with love and abhorring what is evil, clinging to what is good, being kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to those in the body of Christ, and not lagging in diligence, but being fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. See, we're going to have to go through some things with one another as a part of this body of Christ. But that's what's going to develop within us, the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control, so that we get to the point where now we don't have to work so hard at being patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. See, prayer is a big part of this. Distributing to the needs of the saints. See, there is not supposed to be lack in the body of Christ. When you see a brother or sister in Christ in need and you have the ability to help them, you're to help them. We have to be given the hospitality. It says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, right? See, that's something we do with our mouth, blessing them with what you say, just like when you curse people, you're cursing them with what you say. I want to encourage each and every one of you tonight to think about what God has given you to do and how God has positioned you to be a blessing to someone else. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth. God, Father, I thank you for you calling us to be transformed by renewing our mind to your word and allowing that to be a key part of our transformation. I thank you for this right now and for our mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, and financial wholeness and restoration through all that you accomplished at Calvary through your son, Jesus Christ. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday night teaching, Be Ye Transformed.
I'm gonna tell you a story now. About a man. Called Shouting John. John joined a dead church. They didn't believe in dancing. They didn't believe in speaking in other tongues. But all of a sudden, they opened the doors of that old dead church. John joined that old dead church. Well, when John joined that old dead church, he came in. All around the church, they tried to hold his legs, his hands were gone. When they turned the hands loose, the feet were going. It's just like fire. It's just like fire. It's just like fire. Shut up in my bones. They did everything they could to stop old John. When they could not stop him, they made up in their mind, we gotta go out to John's house, y'all. But doesn't he know? We don't act like that at our church. Doesn't John know? We've got dignified people, and they're in our church. We're going. We're going to John's house. Well, when they got out there, come. They found this 90-year-old man, him and an old Peter Pew. Plowing. John! fear. I cannot hold my peace no longer. Did you see all of that land that you all just drove in on? He said, God gave me all of that land. You don't want to let me praise the Lord in your church. Fundamentals, I want you to bend over and look. Come on, bend down. Go. He said, I'm still able to harvest my own crop. Stay right there. I'm still able to walk down the heaven of you. He said, not only that, but look at here. Look. Look. I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chickens, turkeys, rabbits. You name it! God gave me! When I was sick, he healed me. When I was put outdoors, he put a roof over my head. Have you got anything to praise him for tonight? John said, since I can't shout in your church, I've got something I want you to do for me. Praising him. Oh, I feel.